Type 2's Time for Insulin by Gary Shiner. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Gary Shiner. From the editor, Gary Shiner, MS, CDE, is a diabetes educator with a private practice, Integrated Diabetes Services, and the author of Think Like a Pancreas, a practical guide to managing diabetes with insulin. He has been diabetic for 20 years and he offers consulting services in person, by phone, and through mail. From the winter 2009 edition of Voice of the Diabetic, we reprint his commentary on the importance of type 2 diabetics' use of insulin when other therapies have been determined to be inadequate for controlling the disease. Here's what he says. Insulin has a wonderful reputation among people with type 2 diabetes. With many, it is about as popular as moving to a nursing home or a Florida retirement community, just one step away from the grave. But nothing could be further from the truth. If anything, taking insulin keeps you as far away from the mortician as possible. Despite recent advances in medical therapy, insulin remains the most potent and effective treatment for elevated blood glucose. It is a more natural substance than pills, chemically similar to the insulin produced by the body, and it lacks many of the potential side effects of oral medications. Today, more than 15 million people with type 2 diabetes live in the United States. More than 3 million of these take insulin. Many more people should probably be taking insulin. Here is why. Nature of the diabeast. Type 2 diabetes is a progressive condition. It gets worse over time. It usually starts out as a state of mild insulin resistance. The insulin produced by the pancreas is not properly used by the body's cells. This results in a gradual increase in the blood sugar level, which promotes increased insulin production by the pancreas. Eventually, the pancreas is unable to make enough insulin to overcome the insulin resistance, and glucose levels rise high enough to require medical treatment. During all of this time, the pancreas is working harder and harder to secrete as much insulin as possible. Just like a machine that is strained and overworked, the insulin-producing cells eventually burn out and cease to function. This is why the treatment for type 2 diabetes tends to become more aggressive over time. Initially, many people with type 2 diabetes can control their blood sugar through exercise, which improves insulin sensitivity, and a healthy diet with limited carbohydrates. Once this fails to achieve desired blood sugar levels, oral medications are often added. Some medications reduce the amount of sugar produced by the body, some improve sensitivity to insulin, and some stimulate the pancreas to produce as much insulin as possible. Eventually, the oral medications, combined with diet and exercise, are unable to do the job, and insulin is added to the treatment. Oral medications really do have their limits. Unlike insulin, which lowers blood sugar directly by causing the body's cells to absorb insulin from the bloodstream, oral medications work indirectly. They work only when the pancreas is able to produce sufficient amounts of insulin. Once the pancreas is unable to keep up with the workload, no amount of medication is going to solve the problem. And it really can be a problem. Elevated blood sugar levels cause short-term problems, tiredness, infection, impaired healing, diminished mental and physical abilities, mood changes, as well as long-term complications, blindness, kidney failure, nerve disorders, heart disease. Insulin to the rescue. Taking insulin is easier and safer than ever before. Insulin syringes have short, super-thin needles that you can barely feel. Insulin can also be administered with an insulin pen. Simply dial up and inject. Don't forget, insulin is injected into fatty tissue. It is not injected into muscle, blood vessels, or any kind of sensitive tissue. Fat has no nerve endings, so the injection procedure is virtually pain-free. In recent years, new insulin formulations have come to the forefront. Basal insulin, which works slowly and gradually over an extended period of time, like a time-release capsule, may be enough to get your diabetes under control. Glargine, brand name Lantus, and Detemir, brand name Levemir, are two such insulins. They are usually taken once or twice a day, and they do a good job of controlling blood sugar levels overnight and between meals. Having insulin working all the time helps to rest the pancreas so that it can generate extra insulin at mealtimes. Because basal insulin does not have a pronounced peak, it rarely causes hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. In many cases, basal insulin is all that is needed to control the blood sugar throughout the day and night. In some instances, even with the addition of basal insulin, the pancreas is unable to make enough insulin at mealtimes. This results in large blood sugar spikes after meals and snacks. Post-meal spikes have been shown to damage blood vessels and contribute to many of the complications of diabetes. A number of strategies can be used to prevent the spikes. Perhaps the most effective solution is to take rapid-acting insulin at each meal in addition to the usual injections of basal insulin. This is called a multiple daily injection, MDI, program. Rapid insulin, including Lispro, brand name Humalog, Aspart, brand name Novolog, or Glulazine, brand name Apidra, is usually taken at the onset of each meal or snack. Rapid insulin starts working in approximately 15 minutes, peaks in about an hour, and lasts for about 4 hours. The dose can be adjusted based on the amount of carbohydrate in the meal or snack. Rapid insulin, just like basal insulin, can be taken using a pen or syringe. Another effective option would be to use an insulin pump. Insulin pumps are beeper-sized and battery-operated. They deliver tiny pulses of rapid-acting insulin throughout the day and night, which effectively serves as the basal insulin. The user programs a larger dose, called a bolus dose, to be delivered at meal and snack times. The insulin is delivered from the pump into a small plastic tube that sits just below the skin. In order to cut down on the number of injections required with MDI or the complexity of using an insulin pump, some people opt to use premixed insulin, which usually consists of intermediate insulin known as NPH, a cloudy mixture which peaks 4 to 10 hours after it is taken, combined with a rapid insulin. Taken at breakfast and dinner, premixed insulin provides some basal insulin throughout the day and night, albeit with pronounced peaks and valleys, and rapid insulin to offset breakfast and dinner. Some physicians also recommend a combination of insulin and oral medications. For example, basal insulin is often combined with medications called meglitinides, brand names Prandin and Starlix, or DPP-4 inhibitors, brand name Januvia. These medications help the pancreas to secrete extra insulin, especially at mealtimes. Insulin is not ideal for everyone with type 2 diabetes. It requires some dexterity to administer the injections. If the doses are incorrect, it can cause hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. If not balanced with sufficient exercise and a healthy diet, insulin tends to cause weight gain. Don't lose sight of the fact, however, that diabetes is a disease that requires aggressive treatment. If your blood glucose level is frequently above target or your HbA1c is above 7%, talk to your doctor about intensifying your therapy. Starting insulin or taking your insulin program to a higher level may give you just the results you're looking for.